distributor of grace. When you turn the other cheek, that's grace. And the only way you can do it is to know that you're safe and you're secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ is God and you're totally immersed in Him. He loves me. He has captivated me. He run me down and caught me. He's the one that knew me before the foundation of the world was ever laid. And He has captured my little body. And it's His. Every once in a while I still take charge, but I don't stay in charge long. Boy, He knocks the snot out of me. Thought you gave that thing to me. Well, for a while. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
We are distributors of
grace.
Say it again. We are distributors of
grace.
Now, where do you do that? Wherever you are. I was walking down the corridor at the airport a week and a half ago, sent my grandson home. My wife and I were in tears. Our grandson's leaving. I got 9 granddaughters and 1 grandson. And my little grandson is leaving. And he's full of tears. And we're just kind of, you know, if you knew the story, probably y'all would cry along with me. But we were walking down the corridor and we heard, "Hey, Charlie! Mr. Osborne." And it was the station keeper for Continental Airlines, the guy that runs Continental Airlines at the airport out here. He's the boss. And I recognized him and said, "How you doing, Randy?" And Randy said, "Could I see you just a minute, please?" And he was loading his plane. He just made an announcement, 5 minutes we will be putting the people that have to need a little extra time to get aboard with their children. We got 5 minutes. And as I walked over, he said, "Could I talk to you just for a minute?" Well, I said, "Sure." And the guy was at the counter trying to get in. He said, "I'll be right back." And he said, "Could we walk down the corridor?" I said, "Yeah. It's where I'm going anyhow." And so I put my arm in his. And my wife was on the other side, and she locked in, and we started walking. He said, "I have got a real problem with drinking, and I need somebody to pray for me." I said, "I'm fixing to distribute some grace. I'm fixing to use the grace that God has burned into my heart." I said, "Brother, glory to God." Right in the middle of this big corridor with people everywhere, I stopped and I said, "I don't believe in praying later. I believe in God distributing His grace right now." I laid my hand on his heart. My wife reached up on his shoulder because he was so tall and she was so short. And I said, "Father, this wonderful brother has asked that he be delivered and be helped in this spirit of alcohol. God, we just believe that your Holy Spirit will come and knock it out of him. Father, we thank you for the grace and the faith to believe that it's done. And know we know, God, that when two or more gather, that you are here. And we thank you, Father, for giving him the strength to walk without alcohol. In Jesus we pray. Amen." And we turned him loose. He went back to his station and we walked on out. It's called grace. That's grace. Now, we've been around that airport so much, everybody out there knows us. And they will call us aside every time we go out there. There's somebody hugging on us. The baggage attendants. It's unbelievable. When you know that you are a distributor of grace, you're always got a smile on your face. You are never angry. You're never upset. The plane just left. It's okay. God wants me on another plane. I shouldn't have called that one to start with. Because there's somebody on the next plane that I need to minister to. Because I'm a distributor of grace. I'm a storehouse of grace. I've got to be ready for God to put His grace wherever He wants it. So I'm never anxious where I am. or what? If I get delayed, big smoking deal. I'll live forever. I'm not in a hurry, no how. You must become a distributor of grace. We've got it. We're apostles. We're unique. We've been chosen. We're holy. We're baptized. We're confirmed. We're redeemed. We're justified. We're the righteousness of God. And He done it all. And all I got to do is accept it and begin to distribute it. But I don't feel comfortable doing that. I don't care whether you feel comfortable or not. Your flesh will never get comfortable. That sucker's always worrying about something. I no longer listen to my flesh, except once in a while. It's still a mess, folks. You all can tell. But I've learned something in the last month, and I don't know how I got all through all these years and never learned it. I heard some dingbat lady, a wonderful, unique masterpiece of God with her head shaved. You know, she would make the greatest preacher that ever lived, and I'm going to write her and tell her that she missed her calling, that her approach to the flesh, she will burn out of it, but she can never burn out of God's grace, and I want to invite her because she's Catholic. I've already heard her say that. I'm going to invite her to the school, and I hope that she'll come because she has a tremendous ability. Amen. She said, fat makes fat. If you don't eat no fat, you ain't going to get fat. You eat fat, you'll get fat. I said, oh. Is that simple? And she said, all you got to do is look at the box, and it'll tell you how many fat grams are in each serving. So I looked at the box, and I won't pick up nothing except zero fat. When you ain't eating fat, your body's burning fat. My body, I've already lost 8 pounds. My wife has lost 30 pounds. I didn't believe it till I watched her. She started back in September, and she just stopped eating fat, and I'm going to tell you, the fat is disappearing. It's amazing. So our storehouse of grace is starting to shape up a little bit. You got to keep your storehouse looking nice because you don't want to be a disgrace to the grace. Amen. And folks, that's not to put anybody down. Isn't this good?
Yeah.
Listen to this. From the reception of these charisms, I'm in the next paragraph. After the generous distributors, I've skipped a little bit there. From the reception of these charisms, even the most ordinary ones, if you'll go to Scripture and study Scripture, I have determined, and I could be wrong in this, but to me it looks like there's three ordinary charisms. There's three that everybody should operate in. James talks about wisdom, the wisdom to know God, the wisdom to be able to express your faith. I believe that everybody has or could have the gift of wisdom. James said, all you need to do is ask for it, and God will never take it away from you. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonder. He'll never take. I don't care if you get off and do something wrong, He won't take the wisdom away from you. Isn't that? What a great God I serve. Oh, hallelujah to God. Another gift that's given to all, I'm convinced, is the gift of healing, simply because it is a gift of compassion, and we don't like to see anybody sick. Especially the gift of healing the heart. The greatest healing that anyone can receive is the healing of your heart, the healing of your mind. The third Ordinary gift is the gift of praying in tongues. St. Paul said, I wish that you all prayed in tongues. Half of this group right here doesn't pray in tongues. Half of you. That's not right. It is a wonderful gift. In that gift, you talk to God. And folks, a lot of you need to talk to God. And you need to talk to Him in His language, not your language. He doesn't need your language. You need His language. And the way He gets to your language, gets His language in you, is you won't know what you're talking about. And folks, He needs to have that, because He can minister to your mind in areas that you don't have any idea you need ministry. Father Carapi will tell you, he resisted that gift the most, but it's helped him the most. Amen. Three ordinary gifts. There arises for each of the faithful the right, listen to this, each of the faithful, 900 million Roman Catholics in the world, there arises for each of the faithful the right and duty of exercising these gifts. Where? In the church? In the church? Folks, that can be in me and in the community where we gather. I am a church, and the church gathers as a community. These are to be used in the church. Don't be embarrassed to use them in the church. Now, if your pastor says, don't use them in the church, you don't use them in the church. Obedience comes before these charisms. Obedience is a spirit of love. It's a sacrifice. But, Father, I can hardly stand it. Go out in the back 40 and pray in tongues. Don't you disturb His congregation and think you've done something for God. The Holy Spirit never disrupts anything. No, I'm telling you, it doesn't, folks. It's a perfect gentleman. Perfect gentleman. We're to use these charisms, exercising them in the church and in the what?
World.
You mean on your job? You mean you can walk around on your job praying in spirit? Being ever ready to look for someone to be a witness to? The only reason that you got your job, the only reason you're excited about the job, because it is a place that you can exercise these charisms and you can be keenly looking for someone that might need help, and is that a person comes along and you're ready to fire. Like walking down the hall in the airport. You know, most every place I go, there's somebody waiting for me to minister to them. I have been hanging over the John in the bathroom and praying for people. They follow me right in the bathroom. And I said, well, you know, I can't hold it no longer. Just come on, you know. I just can't, you know. And you'll find that when you really become a true distributor of this grace that lives in you, people will follow you all over everywhere. You wake up in the morning, they'll be in your house. They'll call you on the telephone. They're wanting that grace that you got. Amen? Isn't that exciting? You don't go home and get an unlisted number. One thing I would never allow anybody in my family to do is to get an unlisted number in our house. You can call me anytime. And I have not told my children, tell them I'm not here. That's teaching them to lie. Now, I may tell them I ain't talking to them. People, I ain't talking tonight. Because sometimes I can't talk. Sometimes my grace goes to sleep. Amen? Well, it doesn't go to sleep. My body just gets so tired that I can't muster up the energy to let the grace flow. There comes times like that. I got a telephone call the other night. The wonderful brother calls me at least once a week. And he always seems to be able to catch me when I'm at home. It's the most amazing thing that I've ever seen. Because I'm never home. I can walk in the house and it'll ring and it's old Tom. And Tom will start. And I've already told him 1,000 times what to do. But he needs to be reassured one more time. Are you sure I'm supposed to do this? Yes, Tom. I'm trying and it ain't working. I said, Tom, it works with patience. Obviously, your patience is not very good. Why do you think you would be having this problem is to try you in your patience, and you're failing, Tom. You understand? But that's grace. I'm encouraging him. Come on, Tom. In the church and in the world, for the good of men and the development of the church. Folks, look. Look at this little St. Anthony's here, how it's developed. We came here, 6 years ago? There was approximately 25, 30 parishioners. The bishop had this place closed. This school here was closed. It took us 9 months when the bishop gave us this place to clean it out. It was packed with garbage from the basement through the whole place. 9 months to clean it out and to repair it, put new windows in it. And the parish had officially been X'd to close. Folks, I'm convinced that this is going to be a model parish for the whole world. I'm convinced that it's going to be the place. Now, that's just what I'm convinced about. You may have different ideas. You may say, I'm going back to my parish, and my parish is going to be the model. Wonderful! Every parish should be a model. Every parish should be inspired and be used in these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you know in this parish over here, they've never let me preach from the pulpit? This famous Catholic preacher? This TV star? This man that travels all over the world, they won't even let me preach in my own little old church over here. Humbling? It is. I have to sit there and say, well, God, you know best. I'll be patient. I'll just be patient. And I'm not going to be upset while I'm patient. Even if I swallow a tooth, I won't be impatient. Amen?
Amen.
I never found the tooth, by the way. Because I didn't look for it. It said, listen to this, very important, of exercising these charisms, from the reception of these charisms, even the most ordinary ones, there arises for each of the faithful the right duty of exercising them in the church and in the world for the good of man, the development of the church, of exercising them the freedom of the Holy Spirit who breathes where He wills. The wind blows where it wills. You hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it is coming from or where it is going. So it is with anyone begotten of the Spirit, and at the same time in communion with his brothers in Christ and with his pastors especially. With the pastors especially. With the pastors especially. Folks, you are not going to renew the church by yourself. It is going to be a parish function, and you may have to sit for years. And don't form this attitude. This is a dead church. You know there's 4 kinds of Christians in our wonderful Catholic church. There's chicken Christians. Y'all know what a chicken does? It squawks all the time. Bawk, 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 bawk. I mean, just always bitching and moaning. I mean, it squawks and it scratches and it's always picking in the dirt. You ever see a chicken just pick, 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 We have a lot of Christians like that. They walk around scratching in dirt, and they're picking. You ever see a sick chicken? How the other chickens attack it? We get one of our brothers a little sin or awful fringes of disaster, and we will pick him to death. You're going to hell. You know, we'll kill him. It's a chicken Christian. Then we have pigeon Christians. They go from church to church making a big mess. I mean, they'll make a deposit here, and then they'll fly over here and make a bigger deposit. And they'll even get people going with them. Other pigeons will fly along and just deposit their mess on every church they go to. Please don't be a pigeon Christian. Then we have turkey Christians. They come out once a year, whether you want them or not. And they gobble. And they always are expressing their wares. I mean, they on Easter, have you ever watched them? I mean, they come out in their gay paraphernalia and they gobble, 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 gobble. Y'all ever watch them? They will pack the church out and gobble. And then you won't see them again for another year. But you always know what happens to the turkey. Don't be a gobbler. And then there is an eagle Christian. He kind of gets above the trash. And have you ever noticed an eagle, when he goes through his molting season, every feather is pulled. He's sitting there stripped naked, bleeding, suffering, but he gets a whole new set of feathers. Amen. And it seems like he's always above the trash. He never scoops down into the chicken pen and scratches with the chickens or squawks with the chickens. And he never goes from church to church making a big mess. And you never see him gobbling. Amen? We want to be eagle Christians, don't we? Holy Ghost, anointed, full of grace, full of compassion, full of mercy, full of forgiveness. Folks, that's grace. Putting your gift at the service of others, that's grace. Be a servant to others, especially your family. Be a servant to your children. Be a servant to your children. Be a servant to your wife. Be a servant. It's called grace. And there'll be times that you don't feel like distributing grace. That's called a sacrifice of praise. We offer a sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. I'm a house of the Lord, and I take there's times that I don't feel like distributing grace, but I'll push it out anyhow. Amen? Amen. It's called a sacrifice. Okay, let's go back over to page 1. God, I wish I had more time in this. Wait a minute. Look, page 6, foundation of the lay apostolate. Turn over to page 8, the top of the page. Underline this. Spirituality of the lay people. Folks, please read that. This is your spirituality. This is how you're supposed to be. Turn over to the next page and it says objectives. 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 Page 11, the apostolate of evangelization. Page 12, the renewal of the temporal order. Page 13, charitable works and social aids. Page 15, various fields of the apostolate, church communities. Page 17, the family. Page 18, young people. Page 19, apostolate of likes towards likes. Folks, I can tell you that your whole life is in this little book of 33 pages. The whole church community, as pertaining to the lay people, are right here. It's right here. Now, I'll read you a couple of things and I'll close. On divine revelation, the bishops say this. The sacred synod forcefully and specifically exhort all the Christian faithful, especially those who live the religious life, to learn the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ. And they quote Philippians 3:8, by frequent reading of divine scripture. Ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Jesus Christ. If you don't know the word, there is no way you can know Jesus. If you're not following the scriptures by the way the magisterium has revealed them to us, translated them to us, if you're not following those scriptures, I'm going to tell you, you'll wind up in a ditch. And if you don't believe it, look at some of the things that are going on in our church today that are supposed to be of God. Amen. It's incredible. They're deceived. Open up your little book to page 4. The little one here. I'm sorry, yeah. Page 5. Between the members of this, middle of the page, between the members of this body, there exists, Father, such a unity and a solidarity. Remember what unifies us? Our creed, our profession of faith, the Holy Spirit, the fact that we know who we are, that unifies us from the unity and the solidarity. We're committed. We're one. That a member that does not work at the growth of the body to the extent of his possibility must be considered useless both to the church and to himself. Folks, those are some hard words. And what we find as we go, most people don't understand. They don't know that they're useless. We must wake them up so at least they'll know they're useless. Amen? Amen? All right. In closing, let me say this. Father Karapi and I will be leaving Friday night right after this school. We're going to Indianapolis to meet with the Evangelization Board for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. We've just been invited by the Charismatic Community and by the Evangelization Commission of Trenton, New Jersey. Is New Jersey here? All right. We've just been invited to come up there and establish or help them establish what we're doing here. And on a week after our formation starts, Father Karapi and I are flying to Belize to establish a school of evangelization and a formation center there. But we, listen, I think we have finally learned enough to where God's really going to begin to use us. This is some things that we need. We need a vehicle in Belize, preferably a four-wheel drive. We also need a place down there where we can house our staff. There will be somebody living in Belize all the time. Once the school starts, we have got to establish people down there, and we already have them. The teachers are already here. We need a place down there, so these are some things that we need. Transportation is our single biggest problem. We need more transportation. We have an opportunity for transportation, but it's extremely expensive. Transportation is expensive. If in your generosity, if you have a heart, or if your faith has been stirred, or if you have been encouraged in your faith, and if you believe that what we're doing here is of God. And if it's needed in the church, then I want to invite you that can, to help us. I'll see y'all tomorrow morning. God bless you.